once again, it's time for ContraCast!
Hello everyone, welcome back to ContraCast. This is episode number 9. For August 16, 2009. Next week is episode 10. Obviously, it follows after 9, so yay for us! Probably insert a party sound or something. So anyway, got some news, got some things to talk about this week. We're going to do a little bit of a different format than we've been doing. Normally, you know, we just kind of have topics that are evenly spread around. This time we're doing news and then we're doing topics. So without further ado, news. All right, so this week we got a little bit more Zune HD news, some stuff about the Apple tablet, some stuff about the new iPod Touches, and compared to Zunes and whatnot, and then the issue of texting while driving. So without further ado, here's the Zune news this week. Gizmodo demos the Zune HD TV interface, and it's pretty slick. What do you guys think? I mean, it looks like if you were to kind of collapse Windows Media Center onto a device that you can bring around places, I would say that's pretty much what they did. What do you guys think?
I think it's kind of like that. You know, it's not going to be...
Did you see it, John?
What?
Did you see it?
Yeah, I have looked at it. You know, not in depth, but...
Let me go to Mike, who's actually watched the video.
All right.
Okay, we're talking about the texting crash?
No. We're talking about the Zune HD TV interface.
Oh, yeah, the TV interface. Sorry, I wasn't paying attention. The Zune TV interface looks really good. I like how it's just like a all-in-one dock, and it's, it gives you like a little remote, kind of like, you know, HP gives you with the laptop, you know, for your media copy or something.
Yeah.
But the interface looks totally really good. It's set up differently so that, like, it seems like when you plug in the Zune recognizes that it's plugged into a TV, and it switches to a whole different interface that's set for the TV so that it has all the aspects right and everything.
Yeah.
And it just makes it work rather than just having, like, I know I have the old Zune, and I plugged it up before with video, and all it does is just show what was on the old Zune, and so it's not really tailored to, you know, being on TV.
Let me say this. The old Zune, I think the best comparison for what it's like on the TV is, you know how you can plug up, like, a TI-83 calculator to the TV? That's what the old Zune does. I mean, it plugs it up, shows you what the screen shows, but...
new color screen? I mean...
John, you know what I'm talking
about. Doesn't compare,
Paul. That's what it's like. The new one is... I mean, it's a very polished, very set for a TV interface. It's in 720p, and it looks really good. I mean, it's something, you know, there's a few little hang-ups with the animations, but like Gizmodo said, I mean, considering that this is a full media center on a, you know, palm-sized gadget, it's pretty impressive. So the next big bit of Zune news is... The Seattle Times gets a hands-on with the Zune HD, and they noticed a new option in the menu that we have not seen before. And drumroll, please, it was apps. So yay, apps! It looks like Zune HD is actually going to be getting apps, and that's wonderful news, in my opinion. Thoughts?
Definitely.
Yeah. I mean, there's some other stuff about that too.
If you had any doubts about getting the Zune,
this pretty much, you know,
this will shatter those having apps on it, or the development of apps just sounds great.
Exactly. Apparently, Microsoft has offered, in the words of at least one App Store developer, he was offered a quote bucket of money to develop his app for the Zune Cine system. And this is not, it's not saying just for Windows Mobile. They specifically said Zune. Apparently he was an Apple fanboy and said no. I think this has though been, I think they've asked several people to do this, and so that's good news for everyone. I mean, you know, it would be nice if, I mean, we know it has web, and so we can do stuff like tweet from the web, but it'd be cool if we had an actual Twitter application, like Twitterific or, you know, TweetDeck on here.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good news. There are actually 5 colors for the Zune HD coming, and I'm not as excited about this. I really like the look of black and platinum. The new colors are like a goldish yellow, a ruby red, and like a royal blue kind of, and they're all kind of chrome looking, shiny. What do you guys think about the colors?
I think they're definitely better than the colors that I'd have to disagree. They're definitely better than the colors that they had for all the regular Zunes.
You mean you don't like brown, Mike?
Well, see,
no.
Well,
no.
I don't mind the in on paper. I don't mind. Oh, there's a red one. But there was actually, I mean, there was a red original Zune, you know, and it was bright red. It looked really cool. There was a pink original Zune, and it was bright pink. I mean, yeah, you might not like brown. I like it because it's original, and it, you know, it looks cool, in my opinion. I just don't like the way that the red, blue, and gold look. I don't know what it is about them, but compared to black and... The black and silver make the Zune HD look like a really professional gadget, in my opinion, and the other colors kind of make it look like it's attempting to be something that it's not.
Well, I haven't really seen, like, a really, you know, huge picture of all the Zunes put together with the colors, but when I want a device to be colored, I don't want it to be, like, bright, flashy colors. I want it to be, like, you know, like, kind of dark, like, maybe a forest green or, like, a darker red, just so, like, when dirt gets on it, you know, you don't really see it, and it just, I don't know, to me it looks better.
I mean, looking at them again, I can see how they're not terrible. I mean, the gold still to me, I mean, the brown, you can say what you want about it, but it does look okay. The green, or, I mean, excuse me, the yellow almost looks like mustard or, I don't know, it doesn't look like very appealing yellow to me. Blue and red don't look quite so bad, but still, I think silver and black are my choice colors.
We'll have to see when it comes out. I know you just sent me a picture of all the colors, and I've seen that one before. It's just really, it's really small, so I can't really see any detail. I'm sure there's a bigger one somewhere.
All right, so the two remaining things are, I'll open this up. We've got Zune HD reservation cards leaked, and apparently they're out now in Best Buy. I haven't been there in a few days, but you can go by Best Buy, and they have a little kiosk. I mean, not like big at all, but it's just you can reserve a Zune HD with a $25 deposit. Now, we talked about this a little bit last week, I think. I don't think that's going to be a big deal. I mean, you know, maybe I'll be blown out of the water and every Zune in the country will be sold out, but I really doubt that.
If it was, if they release it kind of like the Wii, you know, where they do it in like small bursts where it's just so hard to find one, make the demand so high, maybe it'll be like that, but I don't know. I might take the chance and pre-order one, you know, just so that I don't end up not having one if I get. I mean,
I can see the enticement, but honestly, I mean, I don't think. And on top of that, I'm not someone who's gonna have to have this on day one. You know, I mean, as much as I already know I want it, I'd like to read at least a couple reviews. You know. In depth, because you know, still people. I mean, they can say what they want, but they can't really say that many negative things. I'd like to see what it comes out and says, and then I'll go out and pick it up. I mean, you know, apparently the release date is actually September 15th now. Last week we reported it was September 8th, but you know, I mean, September 15th, September 16th, I'll go out and pick up my Zune HD. Let me see. Going down through the last thing is some more confirmed. Some more stuff that is possible or not possible on the Zune. we've got new software coming to the computer and a firmware update for old Zunes, which is nice.
That'll be good.
Honestly, you know, it'd be cool if we got a new looking firmware. I know we don't have Tegra chips on our old Zunes, but they do some pretty decent.
Who knows? We might get this interface.
I mean, yeah, it'd be sweet if we got something like this. I can definitely see it coming. No flash is confirmed. There's room for an update, which is too bad. I mean, flash is nice. This basically means that this means two things. It means we're not going to be able to get on YouTube, at least in the beginning, which is unfortunate. And we're also not going to be able to see ads all over the place, and that's probably the major thing. And so that's nice. I imagine they've chosen no flash at the moment, basically for that. They don't want you cluttered with ads on your little interface. They've confirmed that there is a an equalizer coming back. Mike, you don't have one. John and I have equalizers in our Zunes. I don't know why they took it out for the second generation, but it's back. Nice. Yeah, I mean, mine's set on electronic right now. And it usually is set on electronic just because it has a good mix of bass and treble and everything. Go down. Games are confirmed. We know this for a fact. Netflix is possible. The guy who was interviewed, Brian Seitz, Zune's marketing guru, was asked by CNET if there was going to be Netflix on here, and he did not confirm, but he did not deny. So that tells me, I mean, we can get really lucky with this, and heck, I mean, if there's Netflix, I'm totally down. Because think about this. At first, for some reason, I still, even though they're talking so much about the TV out, I'm still like, oh, well, it's just a gadget in my hand. I mean, think about this, though. If you get Netflix, holy crap, you load up some movies on this thing, you know, from your computer or whatever. Or not even from your computer. I guess you just load them up onto the device, plug it up to your TV, and you're good to go with your movies. That's awesome. You see, the old dock will work besides HD output. So that means that, and I guess that means if you have the dock, we just have a TV out cable. So I guess that doesn't really affect us, but the old dock will work. You see.
Drag and drop is denied.
That's not a big deal, though. Now playing view within Zune HD, I guess that's okay. I don't really care so much. And future proofing is nice, and we already know this about the current generation Zunes. The fact that it's 3 years later and that my old Zune can do everything that the current generation Zunes can do, including wireless marketplace, wireless sync, and other cool features, I mean, the games and whatnot, really shows that the Zune team is committed to the future and whatnot. And so it's good to hear that this is future-proofed, and because it has a Tegra chip, we can probably count on it doing some cool things within the next 2 years. So, I guess we're done with that. We went on a little long, but there was a fair bit of news this week for the Zune HD. So we'll do something really quick. We'll talk about the Apple tablet. Now, earlier, about 2 weeks ago, Gizmodo was reporting the Apple tablet, which is a highly anticipated, highly rumored device that Apple is going to be coming out with. It's basically a 10-inch tablet. It's touchscreen and whatnot. And their goal is basically it's a big netbook replacement / internet tablet / you know, use around your house, office, iPhone is what it looks like to me. Anyway, so they said it was 90% probability it's coming out this year. They expected an announcement in September. As of last week, though, they've shot down to about 60%. As a blog, the Daring Fireball, who apparently is a Mac insider, reported that despite all the news and all the certainty from Gizmodo, the Apple tablet is a 2010 thing, and we can expect not to see it this year. So, yay, okay. You said you thought a tablet would be cool, Mike. I mean, what do you think about it?
Yeah, a tablet seems cooler than a touchscreen PC. I don't know about Mac's interface as much. I know it would be cool with Windows 7, you know, cuz it'd be like a, you know, kind of like a flat computer. So you're touching down rather than, like, reaching over and touching the screen. And I could see, you know, having, like, kind of like on the iPhone, a pop-up query keyboard on the tablet. That sounds really cool. I'm not much of an Apple fan, but it would be nice to see, like, what people would be able to do with that. As far as releasing this year, I don't think so. I think Apple's more focused on their new iTouch with the camera.
Yeah, that's another thing.
Releasing that to compete with the Zune HD by the Christmas.
Yeah, right after this guy on Daring Fireball posted that about the tablet, he says that and this, he's not that informed very clearly about the Zune HD, and he's very much a Mac fanboy. So, I mean, he's, you know, talking about the Zune HD, he says he doesn't think it's going to be, it's going to work because it just has a web browser and is a media player. There's no apps and no games. As of now, I mean, we know that games are confirmed. This is only 3 days ago, too, so he's definitely behind the curve, and this is post Seattle Times apps discovery. But he says they look good compared to today's iPod Touches, not so much compared to the new camera-equipped ones Apple is set to announce next month. 16, 32, 64 gigabyte for $199, $299, $399. So, given that pricing, the 16 gigabyte iPod Touch actually falls below the current price of the 16 gigabyte Zune. 32 is still cheaper, and then the 64 is $400, so it's quite a bit up there. What do you guys think? How do you think that'll affect the Zune HD? I mean, honestly, I can't tell if this was in the works for Apple in the first place, or if this is coming out and this is like Apple's response to the Zune HD, and they're saying, you generate a lot of hype, but we're not gonna let you make any sales because of this. What do you guys think?
I don't really think it'll affect it that much. I mean, like, yeah, it's got a camera.
Well, let me put it this way. iPod Touch, considering that, you know, honestly, let's say the iPhone, I mean, as cool as it is, it's not directly targeted at us in particular. I mean, let's say that the iPhone is targeted at people who are just getting out of college or whatever, or a little bit higher, and they've got the money to spend on it and whatnot, and so they can purchase the iPhone. Well, the iPod Touch is aimed at people who either aren't on AT&T or can't afford the iPhone. And so their target, I would say, is like Amy, our little sister. And she thinks the Zune HD looks really cool. She actually wants one. But what is she going to think when she finds that there's a 16 gigabyte iPod Touch with a camera for less? You know, $20 less. You know, she's one of these people who takes hundreds of pictures of herself and her friends and puts them on Facebook. I think this is too strong a pull, honestly. I can see this actually really hurting the market for Zune HD, you know.
I would have to agree, Paul. I know adding a camera doesn't sound like too big of a deal, but when you have a device that's capable of apps, there's so many that just opens up so many more apps for the iTouch. Not to mention, like you said, your sister, you know, she likes to take a ton of pictures, and I know the iPhone 3GS's camera was really good. And if she does use that camera, she'd be able to use a, you know, Facebook app and upload the picture via
Wi-Fi. See, that's what I'm saying. I mean, and it's not a bad thing. I mean, this device is really functional. The question is, how much is it going to really cut into the Zune HD market? I think that depending on the time of the announcement of this, it can very seriously impact it. I think when it comes down to it, the people that maybe even have an iPhone or something are going to say, you know what, I could use a gadget that can output in 720p, and, you know, let's say that it gets Netflix. I mean, that seems like a really cool media gadget. As far as the PMP market, I think if this new iTouch, and apparently camera has been confirmed, you know, it's going to be a big deal. Now, the question is, this is my real question. I think that the camera is only going to go so far if it's just a camera. And so nothing, I can't tell so far if it's going to be video or not. But do you guys think that'll be an issue or not? I mean, if we've got, because if it just has a camera, it's going to be a deal, but I don't know if it's going to be a big deal. I think because everyone that's going to get one of these already has a cell phone with a camera on it anyway, and they can put an SD card in that. But I think that if it has a video camera, it's going to be a huge deal, because we already know that the 3GS takes great video. You know, what do you guys think?
I think it just depends on how good it's going to be. I mean, the quality of it.
Yeah.
Because it could be like the 3GS, or it could be just some crappy one they put in there.
Well, that's not the issue, John.
But for money saving, though, they might put a lower quality one in.
Well, I guess they could do that a little bit. They have
going Apple. They just like to charge you out the butt. So
well,
no.
See, recently they have been cutting back a little bit. I mean, you know, it used to be that when you bought a MacBook Pro or whatever, you knew you were getting a top of the line MacBook. You know, and they've actually scaled back. I mean, certain features like the matte screens. I mean, my computer has a matte screen. You know, that's. It makes the image appear a little bit differently. They actually quite a bit scaled back on the colors that were displayed by the last generation MacBook Pros. I mean, they show like less than a million colors, and so if you zoom into the colors, it uses a process called dithering, you know, and so you've got like mixed colors. And so they have been cutting back. So there's, I mean, I suppose there's a possibility that they could put maybe the 2-megapixel camera from the first iPhone into this, and if so, I think if they did that, they're not gonna make any waves. But anyway, I guess that's enough news there. The last thing we're gonna talk about in news section is this whole issue of texting while driving, and you know what's going on with that. So we just saw a pretty intense video from Britain. That's a public service announcement about texting while driving. And it's been making a lot of news here, and it's funny, the paper the other day had on the cover, it was talking about historic things, and like one of the historic, whatever a legislator in the state's talking about is texting while driving. It was in big, big font, and I'm sitting there thinking, it's historic, how? Because texting didn't even exist like 6 years ago in the capacity that it has in the last couple. So, you know, that was kind of dumb to me. But honestly, I'm not sure, you know, if there's, you know, the dumbest thing about this whole issue is some of the responses coming from the cell phone makers and network providers. You know, most of them are getting behind it. You know, I mean, Verizon and AT&T have pretty much sided with all the legislation saying, yeah, you really should not text while driving. The guy from Sprint, their PR guy, released a statement saying he basically said that although texting while driving is an issue, it is certainly not the only thing affecting drivers. And he goes on a little bit and basically tries to kind of take the heat off of texting. And by doing so, I'm sure his initial thought might have been, you know, it could have been that he wanted to do that, or it could have been that he wanted to shine light on other things, but it comes off with him not looking like he wants to make people drive safer, but he wants them to use their Sprint phones to text while driving. You know, I mean, what do you guys think about the whole debate, or should there be any kind of
there
debate?
There shouldn't even be a debate. I mean, you shouldn't be texting while driving.
You know,
I've almost been hit by several people who are just, you know, looking down,
and it's a temptation.
Like,
I mean, it's not, yeah. You know, I mean, you get, and the problem is this, it's not like the phone knows, oh, I'm in a car now, I shouldn't get them. You get a quick question, you know. I mean, John could say, are you at home now? And I'm driving, and so I'm like, I want to pull out my phone and hit, no, I'm, you know, or just no, but that's too much, you know. Because texting, I mean, compared to just talking on the phone, I mean, talking on the phone is something. You know, I know New York has banned it, and a few other states have really gotten down on it. But compared to texting while driving, it's not a big deal at all. And in that same vein, you know, doing your makeup, eating while driving. But texting is really a big one because you have to be looking at it, you know. I mean, you could technically be eating in your car and be safer than that because, you know, you've got one eye on the road and you've been doing, let's just say, you know, I mean, you spent 20 years learning how to perfect the art of moving your hand from something to your mouth, you know? And so it's just like, it's just a kind of built-in motion. You're like, oh, hot cheeseburger, you know? Oh. texting, you actually have to look at the screen unless you're just ridiculously fast. And if you're like me, if I tried to just do it on my lap while looking at the road, you get something like John sent us today, which was absolute gibberish. Anyway, Mike, what were your thoughts on the texting while driving issue?
I know they banned, you know, talking on the cell phone, you know, when you're under 18 in North Carolina. I think that's what they did. But talking on the cell phone, I'm really against that. because, you know, I think you can still pay attention because you're not actually watching. But texting, I'm going to have to agree. I know previously I was at work, my last day at work, I was texting or tweeting, and I was in a giant line for this light. And when I looked up after texting, you know, of course I was stopped. I looked up, and every single car was gone from the light, and there was one car behind me, and he was like a nice guy, and he didn't beep. But I was like, geez, I was really distracted because like every car was gone from the light, yeah. And there was no cars in that lane, and it kind of scared me a bit, and I was just like, oh, I better not do this. But I wasn't moving, but texting while driving, it's bad. I know there's some teenagers out there that 16-year-old girls that memorize the buttons and can text without looking, but yeah. Most of the time people are looking at the screen, you know, putting up, you know, near their windshield while they're doing it, which is...
Now here's another question. What do you guys think about the under 18 no cell phones rule? Now, I actually
think that's good.
I think it's good, but I think the whole premise is kind of dumb because...
The premise is dumb, but...
Has anyone that you've known been pulled over for it? Because, I mean, what's going to happen, you know?
No, I doubt they'll get a fine because they'll just be like, I didn't know, you know?
Well, they can say that, but on top of that, what if the cops pull over some really young-looking 19-year-old girl or 18-year-old girl, you know?
Well, I mean, they're just going to tell by their license how old they are.
Yeah, but I think cops are going to not want to do that. I mean, you know, how many times does it take you pulling over someone who is not the correct person?
I don't think they enforce it at all, really.
Well, it'd be like this. Let's say that your speed gauge is broken, and so you pull over like four people, and through whatever method you actually find out that they weren't speeding, how many more people are you going to pull over that day with your broken equipment? No one, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think it's that much of an issue, really. Well, I think it's something they'll probably stress in driver's ed, and I think that if someone was in a wreck, they're going to look for that and say, oh, they were talking on the cell phone. But I really don't think talking on a cell phone is that big a deal, and it certainly hasn't really scared anyone away from it except for maybe leaving their high school.
I just really can't stand the laws that – I've heard of some laws that are just like – they even banned like hands-free devices. They want to ban hands-free. I'm just like, Bluetooth, seriously, it's meant for the car, so you don't have to.
Yeah. See, I don't understand the full banning of everything. I mean, I agree to a point with getting people to focus more on driving. I mean, you know, like my car has that cup holder. In Britain, it just has a pen holder because in Britain, cars don't come with cup holders because they want people to look at the road and not at their cup. And that makes sense to me. I think that's going a little bit overkill. Although considering how many times the cup spiller just decides to overturn and bazooka fire my beverage all over my pants while I'm driving, I can see where it'd be nice to have a pen holder. Anyway, let's go on to our topics section.
Oh wait, how about we talk a little bit about what we did and stuff like that?
That's a good point.
What's coming up?
Let's do.
And we missed that section.
We'll start the topic section with that. So I guess we'll just count this as our little break in the middle, I guess. How about you start, Mike?
What I did this week and last week, just got done with work, finally. I'm so sick of working, just been hanging out at home, getting ready to go to school, starting to pack all my stuff. I know today I spent the whole day cleaning my car, and I found out the guy who had it before me, guy or girl, whatever, had it before me, has completely screwed up the wiring. They had a subwoofer, and I took up some pieces of plastic and found several wires sticking out that were cut, and two of them went back up to my audio system, which I pulled out because I thought they were to a subwoofer that I don't have. Good news, though, I saw one of the wires that was sticking out, and I soldered it back to where it was supposed to go. I have no idea why this idiot cut it. But when I did, I didn't realize what it was to. But you guys know how my window hasn't been working?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It works now.
Nice.
Yeah, the guy cut the wire to the window. Wow. But,
so he cut the wrong wire.
Oh, and I found at least four interesting things under my seat. One was a bullet. the live ammunition bullet, the 22 caliber.
You know, it's a good thing you weren't pulled over and they had reason to search your whole car.
Oh, yeah.
Sir, we found some live ammunition under your seat.
I don't think they would have found it, though, because it was under my, like, creases and stuff.
Yeah. Well, you see, like, cops where they pull a guy out of the car and then they just go and, like, you know, they tried to hide something, but they just, like, zero in immediately on it.
Yeah, no. Three more things. I'm thinking some girl owned my car or something. I found a Christmas wish list that has been buried under my amp.
What was on it?
Oh, it was, like, I don't know, Christmas stuff to get Christmas presents for people and stuff. Like, it was in girls' handwriting. I found a girl's makeup kit that was all, like, melted and crap. Good thing it was still in the plastic. And then I found a girl's earring... stuff that was just buried under there. But yeah, I'm so glad I finally got my wiring fixed for that window. I know you guys John at least complains in the back seat. You always sit on the side that the window doesn't work. Well, it works now. It hasn't really been bothering me because I just used the driver
drive.
One. Yeah. But that's really what I did this week.
All right, John?
As usual, I've worked. I've got like... I don't know, probably a week now left of working 6-day weeks. And then it'll just be afternoons for the next 2 weeks of the pool being open. Because I start up school in the 24.
What about the kid who drowned?
Yeah. There's a recurring problem we have at the pool. Is parents that are too lazy to watch after their 2-year-olds. And so, like, today there was a kid there who's, you know, 2 years old, his mom put one of those little floaty things on his arm, you know, thinking that, of course, that's going to save him from anything that could possibly happen. And then she lays down to get her tan. And about 10 minutes later, the kid, you know, is choking in water in a 3-foot deep section because he's 2 years old, doesn't know how to swim, and he's kind of gone belly down into the water, and he can't right himself. So he starts, you know, inhaling water. And they pulled him off and they run over to the mom. And the mom's like, oh, didn't even say thanks to anyone. They're just like, started yelling at her kid for being, you know, unable to swim.
We're just like, probably can't even comprehend it yet.
We're like, how can you, like, be a mom and be like that? It doesn't work.
Yeah, that's just ignorance.
And then, but that happens so often. Parents will just, like, put this stuff in their kids and then just, like, go try to get a tan and ignore them. I don't know.
Right.
Happy for the pool to be over.
So, last week I actually was off for several days. I've been at work the last 3 days and it's been murder. I don't get it. There's as many people there this week as there were last week, and last week was tax-free weekend. I'm not really sure why these people think they can't do their shopping after school begins. You know, I mean, is it really that hard to pick up your kids on a Tuesday, you know, night and go out to Ross? Anyway, been doing that. We all saw District 9, which is nice. We're going to talk about that as our first topic in the topics section. What else did I do? I went down to Pittsburgh, the most depressing place in the state. And this is a funny story. I get down there, and so whenever I'm gone or at work, Twitter is my lifeline. I tweet about how bad things are. So I'm down in Pittsburgh, and on the way down, we stop, and I tweeted, on the way to Pittsburgh, literally the most depressing place in NC. And then my next tweet was, Pittsburgh is like, I imagine, purgatory is like, when you get there, you don't know how long you have to stay, and you want to leave immediately. So, that's what I tweeted. And then, it's funny, because that tweet gets picked up and retweeted back at me by two Twitter accounts, Chatham NC, which is the county, Chatham County, which is where Pittsburgh is located, and Pittsburgh NC, which is, of course, Pittsburgh. And I know these are real people, not bots. Because, for instance, the Pittsburgh one has, like, the town mural as the background, and you can't pull it off the web and stuff like that. But my question is, really? I mean, if you read those tweets and you read a few others, it's very clear I was not happy with Pittsburgh. And so I'm really wondering why someone who loves Pittsburgh and Chatham County enough to make Twitter accounts for them and update things, why they would retweet that. And so I put that on my blog, and I retweeted back at them, you know I'm being serious, right? I hate Pittsburgh, but I haven't got a response.
Sure.
So anyway, let's move into District 9 and the other topics in our topic section. So District 9. Now, as we explained last week or 2 weeks ago, I think it was last week, District 9 is the new movie produced by Peter Jackson and directed by Neil Blomkamp, and they are the team that was going to be doing the Halo movie, and their activity post-figuring out Halo was canceled. Basically, the day Halo was canceled due to too much money, it was going to be like $300 million, they decided to make District 9, which actually ended up only being $30 million. And I think that point alone is something that Hollywood needs to take into effect. As you guys know, the budget for Transformers 2 was about $200 million. I don't know where the discrepancy comes from, because there were certainly a lot of CGI elements, you know, in District 9. Lots of clever filmmaking and whatnot. But what the heck? I mean, that's like, it's a little bit over a tenth of what Transformers budget is.
The first thing I'd say is, like, District 9, yeah. Do you recognize any of the actors?
Well, that's a big deal, but I'm not really saying that Shia LaBeouf isn't demanding $20 million for his role, or maybe he was, but...
Well, Megan Fox, too.
Oh, Lord. Yeah.
Bring it back
but, you know, if you take five or six well-known actors, it's going to rack up a pretty high price.
Yeah, but I don't know. I'm just... It seems like
all the things in District 9, like, I mean... The alien guns, they look like realistic, and then the only thing that you think they would make CG or it would be like the shots from the guns and stuff like that, which is not as big as like a
guns.
Yeah, which is if you think about it, that's not as long and as like expensive to make as like a 20-minute robot fight with Prime where all the elements are CGI, you know.
Oh yeah.
It just seems like everything was more realistic in the film. As far as, you know, effects go, like when a car blew up and, you know, it wasn't CGI, it was like a real car. And even the robot in there did not look CGI to me at all. All
right, so I'm going to read you guys two things. I'm on Rotten Tomatoes, and I'm going to go ahead and read the synopsis, mainly because it does it better than I can, and then their consensus. Currently, it's sitting at 88% on Rotten Tomatoes. That's 137 positive reviews and 19 negative reviews. Synopsis, genre master Peter Jackson produces the science fiction film, the directorial debut of Neil Blomkamp. In District 9, South Africa has become a haven for refugees from outer space. That's really about the slimmest synopsis you can get. We'll elaborate a little bit. Consensus is technically brilliant and emotionally wrenching. District 9 has action, imagination, and all the elements of a thoroughly entertaining science fiction classic. And if you're like me, you've been, you know, you're giving all your Twitter feeds have been coming in and you're like, and everyone's talking about District 9. And basically the consensus from everyone is what a crazy movie. And I didn't expect anything like this. So let's try and do this in two parts, guys. Let's keep the first part spoiler free and then we'll go into spoilers in the second part.
I was going to suggest that.
Yeah, because there's a lot of spoilers. This movie, the closest thing as far as I can think in terms of what it looks like you're going to get and what you actually get is 7 pounds. Because 7 pounds, you can't tell what the heck that is in the trailer, and you actually get an emotionally wrenching movie that I highly recommend in the movie itself. You just, in the trailer, you don't understand what on earth is going on. District 9, honestly, the movie makes it look like a few aliens come or they're hovering above or we don't really know what's going on. But it looks like the aliens are the bad guys, number one, and it looks like there's only a few of them. So, I'm trying to think where to start. This movie, it's crazy.
You talk about the way the movie was shot, like documentary style.
That's a good point. The movie, and this probably has something to do with how they kept the cost down. And also, in the theater, what we noticed is that you normally get movies, I think, I want to say 21x9 is the actual movie theater presentation, and I think 16:9 is the Blu-ray and widescreen presentation.
I did notice this picture was way smaller than it should have been.
The movie, it seemed it was in the correct aspect ratio. I just think that the movie was shot and released in 16:9, so it was a little slimmer than we expected. We had some dark spaces on the side. It didn't hurt it, though. It was just odd to see that because you're used to a much wider image in theaters. But it was shot very much like a documentary. I mean, they had actual footage, basically shot like National Geographic style, talking to people. They had footage of when the alien ship arrived that was very cool. It was doctored to make it look like it was old. And then they had lots and lots of like security camera kind of footage, you know. I mean, they'd take a shot that perhaps might have been an expensive action shot or would have looked kind of messy up close, you know, like Transformers. And instead of doing a close shot, they do like a black and white, like helicopter going over the top shot, you know? And so they did a lot of really cool, really cool stuff like that.
It looked like something that, they made it look like that if it actually happened, like what you would see in the news, you know, how like when the World Trade Center got, it wasn't crummy footage, but it was like, you know, it looked like someone on the street had filmed it, and like when they showed like a part or something from the spaceship falling off, you know, they kind of zoomed in on it and just darkened everything else. I mean, they made it look like it was actually, you know, from a news report.
So here's an extended synopsis that I'll give, because this all happens in the first 5 minutes. They basically talk about it. 20 years ago, this movie is set in modern day Johannesburg, South Africa. And supposedly 20 years ago, an alien ship came to rest directly above the city. And it took 3 months, and we eventually went up and cut into it, and we expected to find some real high-tech beings or whatever, and instead we found highly malnourished beings that were, you know, just kind of, I guess, waiting to die in the ship. And we rescued them, and in total there was like a million... 8 aliens or something. There's just a ton of them. And so we brought them all down to Earth. You know, not a long drop to Earth. And we set up a slum for them, basically, called District 9, which is where they've lived for the last 20 years. And the premise of the movie starts off that the humans want them moved to a new area farther away called District 10. And so that's where we basically start off into the movie. You guys want to add anything to that?
Did you say a while ago that it's like the district thing is based off something that happened a while ago there?
Yeah, let me look that up. But add something else real quick, and then I'll figure that out real quick.
Anything else, Mike, that you noticed in the first few minutes?
Of the movie, it kind of seemed like they made it. I thought the aliens were going to be like. More intelligent than they actually made him to be, which is kind of a...
Well, there were a few that were obviously intelligent.
Yeah, there was a few that was obvious intelligent, but overall they just kind of look like, you know, maybe scavengers or some beings that couldn't, you know, like, invent anything. But I think it was because, you know, like, they were just, you know, offspring of, like, smart ones or something happened to them or something like that to where they just, you know, didn't learn anything because of the slums they were living in. It kind of made it seem like, you know, like, even the people of, like, South Africa who live in, like, stuff like that every day, you know, wanted the aliens gone. Gone away. So it kind of brought in, like, you know, like, issues, real-world issues and stuff like that, which made it seem more realistic that, it, like, if it actually happened that way, that's, you know, what would happen, you know. Everyone wasn't really interested in the aliens and, like, oh, they more, like, made the aliens outcasts and just, you know, wanted them gone because it seems like, you know, we were taking care of them and they were just on our land, you know, something like that. So it made for an interesting topic and you got that up there, Paul?
Okay. Here's what the eviction and relocation is based off of. It's based on District 6, a former inner-city residential area in Cape Town, South Africa. The district was declared whites-only by the apartheid government in 1966, and the population of 60,000 forcibly removed to Cape Flats, 25 kilometers away, during the following years. So anyway, that's what that's based off of. We've covered the basic stuff. This is sounding terrible. So what we're gonna do now is enter the spoiler zone. There'll be spoilers here. So our main protagonist throughout the movie is Vikus, spelled Wikus. And he's a guy who's not particularly smart. Reminds me of Steve Martin or Steve Carell. He's put in charge of the MNU group's field operation to relocate the aliens. And so during the first day that he has to go in and start talking to the aliens, he ends up firing a dark liquid into his face, becomes very sick, and he collects the device as evidence. And this liquid begins to transform him into an alien, into a prawn, as they call them.
Oh, I thought that was funny how they called them prawns.
Yeah, they look like shrimps. So he starts to transform shortly after his... some of it's pretty gross. I mean, his teeth come out at one point.
His fingernails,
that was awful. His hand,
his whole arm changes
into an alien hand pretty fast.
Yeah.
And it was like, it was really painful and it was in a bandage, and then all of a sudden he takes it off and it's an alien hand.
It seems like the whole movie after that, he was always in pain and
he keeps on transforming slightly. And the very last scene that we see him as a human, his, like, half of his body is basically alien. Like, his eye is
alien. Yeah, like his face and his eye and stuff.
And at the end, it's strongly implied that he's turned into an alien. Anyway, so he, throughout his ordeal, it's revealed that the humans are keeping the aliens on Earth. They're not letting them go back to their ship because they want to get their weapons. And we get to see some of those weapons during the movie. And this is where I'm kind of glad that they played... I know they played Halo, and I know Peter Jackson's a video game fan. Because you see some things
Half-Life.
Here that you've seen in video games, but you've never seen in movies. Such as the particle...
The gravity gun.
Well, you see basically a gravity gun. You see a particle acceleration or something like that type of gun that reminds
from
me
Fear.
Of a gun from Fear, where you shoot a guy... And then there is a skeleton. This movie, you shoot a guy, and then there is no more. except in a radius around him. There is lots of crazy alien weaponry. But the reason that this Vikus character becomes such a big deal is that the humans, once they discover that he's partially transformed, being that they are evil in spirit, they capture him and force him to work the alien weaponry, which he becomes able to do.
Well, you gotta mention that the alien weaponry, the government's been testing it and, you know, thinking, you know, that they could use it, but they haven't been able to figure it out because the weapon is activated by an alien's biostructure, and that's why they were using the main character to use the weapon.
Yeah, but I think we can agree this. I mean, it was a logical progression to say, oh, well, I wonder if the human can use the alien technology. But the real thing is this serves to strongly cement in our minds that the bad guys of this film are MNU and the humans. You know, there is no question after you see this movie that this is not your typical alien movie, you know, like Independence Day or something, where the bad guys are the aliens and the good guys are the humans. You know, although there are some feral kind of aliens, the bad guys of this movie are the humans, and even Vikus to a point. I mean,
that's what made it so good was they made it seem like in the beginning that Vikus, the prawns were kind of invading our space, and Vikus was really selfish in the beginning, especially when his arm started trying to.
Well, he was selfish, and then he's just stupid in the beginning. I mean, remember he. Like, let's talk about the character of Christopher Johnson, who is the main protagonist alien. When Vikus is trying to get him to sign the thing, about eviction, he's saying, you know, all the other prawns are saying, what is evict? I don't want to evict. Christopher Johnson saying, why do I have to evict my house? That, I thought, that's one of those things that made this movie so different and so good, is that the second, you know, the supporting actor of this movie was not a human. It was an alien. I think the first time you see the aliens, you think, I wonder how this is going to work out. How are they going to make them, you know, being kind of sympathetic or whatever? I was kind of amazed. I mean, they did an excellent job with, like, the facial work on Christopher Johnson and whatnot.
Oh, yeah.
And then especially the communication, the fact that they did not try to make the aliens speak in English, and they certainly didn't try to make Vickis try to speak in prawn.
Yeah, it seemed like he was speaking in English the whole time, and then the prawns were speaking, you know,
and
their alien
subtitle
language.
It, and so it makes sense, and he understands part of it, and they understand part of him, you know. I was incredibly impressed by the fact that they made him be such a huge role. And I think that he's one of the biggest things about why this movie is getting reviews like it is, and people are saying it's completely different than anything they'd ever seen before. I mean, just the way he is, he's very smart. He's, I mean, we get introduced to him as he's trying to complete his fuel to take his ship off and go up to the ship, the main ship. And his friend who is helping him is
Gunn's son.
His son's there too, and you get to see a lot of father-son, you know, interaction. But his friend who's helping him is killed by the MNU, and that's one of those times when, because you're not really sure of what they're trying to do, you don't know if they're making a weapon or not. After he gets killed, I mean, you see Christopher slam his fist against the wall, and you see the character of the humans. I mean, just tickled to death to be able to kill every prawn they see, you know.
Oh yeah.
And this is, you know, there's a lot of real world commentary coming from this movie as well. I mean, a lot of the urban or the slum kind of combat. I've read, and definitely it seems like it's making a statement about Iraq, you know, and certainly MNU is making a statement about Blackwater security over there. Because wouldn't you say after this, I mean, let's just say that the prawns are Iraqis, you know, and
yeah,
we can't understand them and totally well, and our security guys are making full well use of their license to kill. And so, I mean, that one moment right before the ship takes off, when the main antagonist leans in to Christopher and tells him that he loves killing prawns. Anyway, it's a powerful movie, to say the very least.
Sorry, Paul.
No, go ahead.
I liked how they had, like a third antagonist that you first off didn't know what to think. Like, they had several Africans living in with in the slums with
Nigerians.
Nigerians, and they were dealing in weapons and stuff, and they were selling stuff to prawns. And you throughout the entire movie till the end, you have no clue whether they're going to be, you know, what side they're going to be on, as far as, which was also interesting because it made the movie, you know, more, because you knew they were going to get interacted at the end, but you didn't know if they were going to be for, you know, the humans or themselves or, you know, the prawns.
Yeah.
But that's what also made it interesting.
Why don't we
talk about the weaponry more?
All right, we'll talk about that a little bit. I guess we're done with spoilers, really. There's some very cool weaponry, and this is totally off the point of how great a movie this is. But they just took some really cool cues. So they had, for one, they had the lightning cannon type weaponry, which is definitely something pulled from Fear. That's crazy.
That got used a lot, which is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, all the alien stuff, you get to see only a little while. Oh, you get to see, like, a mini electric nuke storm. That thing was incredible.
They blow
the side off a building with it, you know. There's some high-powered, like, machine gun type stuff. And then there's a really cool gun that is totally pulled directly from Minority Report. It was like a force shotgun kind of thing.
It was like an air pulse kind
of. But it fired a force, you know, shockwave kind of thing, and blew a guy out of a window in another or building and whatnot. That was totally cool. That's the weapon, actually, that sets the Nigerians after Vickis. because the Nigerians think that they can eat alien arms and whatever and gain their powers, and it doesn't work. But he thinks he can eat the human. He thinks he can eat Vickis's arm and get his powers. And the whole reason he wants his powers is because the alien weaponry is insane. You know. Anyway, so I guess without further ado, we won't drag that on farther. My final verdict on my website and on here is absolute 10 of 10 for this movie. 5 stars, 2 thumbs up, whatever you want to give it. It's fantastic. I mean, I haven't seen a movie as good as it in a long time. I mean, I've seen, you know, I really, really enjoyed the new Harry Potter, this movie, and Star Trek was great. But I would totally see District 9 again over either of those. You know, I think it's outstanding. Your guys' final thoughts?
Same thing, 5 and 5. It was an excellent.
The really only movie, I mean, it was better than Iron Man for me.
Yeah, oh yeah. Well, Iron Man, I don't want to go in. Now, I'm not even going to go into it. Iron Man could have had more action, and it didn't. So let's move on to, we're going a little long, I kind of hate that, but last two topics of the day, starting off with this one. GDGT.com is an awesome place to be. If you really enjoy this show, and you've listened for a number of episodes, I strongly recommend you go up and set up an account on GDGT.com and get involved. And here's what it is. It's clearly, excuse me. Got some Pepsi in my mouth.
Got some pickups there, Paul.
Exactly. GDGT.com. It's if you look at the word, you're like, oh, that means that's Gadget. It's Gadget without the A and the E. And it is a social network centered around gadgets. And so what you do is you go set up an account and you pick out, you can grab gadgets you had, gadgets you have, and gadgets you want. There's discussion going on about the gadgets. There's news. There's debates and all sorts of other cool things. And it's just like, it's not, you know, it won't become the next Facebook, but if you're like me and if you're like you guys and whoever else, if you read Gizmodo or something, this is a awesome place for you to go. I mean, for instance, the last week I've been, you know, chatting with other people about problems and solutions for my phone. There's a ton of Zune HD news on there. It's currently the number one most popular gadget on the website. I added a gadget. I added my mouse and, you know, put a review about that. And the add gadget interface is really cool. I mean, you just, you go through a number of steps and you eventually add all the specs and you put down some information and whatnot. And it is a very cool site. It's not for everyone. I mean, I heard on, I think it was Twit or somewhere, it was their own podcast, GDGD podcast. There was a guy asking a question, how do I get my non-gadget-loving friends to join it? That's a pretty dumb question. Because as far as I'm concerned, GDGT is only for gadget lovers. Anyway, I don't know if either of you have created an account yet. I know Mike's seen it at a little bit of length. John, what about you? What do you guys think about this site? And take it for what it is. Take it.
Reviews and stuff.
I'm sorry?
I think it's cool for like reviews and stuff, you know. Well, I mean, you know, they don't have a review for my laptop on there yet, so I'll probably be writing one.
Yeah, you can put one on there. See, the thing I like about it the absolute most is it's a conglomerate site for your gadget discussions. And so while before this, like, you know, I would have to go somewhere else, like Howard Forums or Yahoo Answers, heaven help us, to find answers for questions you have about your gadgets. If you're using GDGT, you can just go on there, go to the gadget page, and chances are there'll be some sort of discussion about it. And if not, someone will be more than happy to help you with it. You know, Mike, what do you think about it?
When at first glance at it, I really haven't gone in depth at creating an account. First glance, it just looked like I know there's a bunch of discussions about older gadgets and stuff like that. I know the Zune HD is on there. As far as information, I guess I haven't really accepted it as a place to go to get like gadget information for upcoming gadgets. I know it's cool because you can add gadgets and, you know, do discussions about that, and people can post, you know, I guess, news about them. But I'll see how it goes. I'll make an account.
Yeah, you guys need to. You should use it this week and then report back. I guess we'll just wrap this up pretty fast. I'll just say that Gizmodo has totally embraced it, and all sorts of other sites are, you know, really kind of hammering that this is a place to be. And it's not, I mean, you haven't seen that many new gadgets, I guess, but there's really a lot on there. I mean, it's just, it's a site for gadgets, old and new. You know, I mean, there's, you know, just let me go to the homepage and pull up a couple articles and we'll see what we got here. We've got the Logitech G15 second generation keyboard, useful tip, LG Envy Touch, BlackBerry Tour, HTC Hero, iPod Nano 4th Gen, Creative Z Egg, iPhone 3GS, Zune 80, and so on. Oh, the Crunch Pad, which looks like the Apple tablet. Anyway, so what you got is a good mix of stuff that's already out, stuff that's brand new, and stuff that's actually coming out soon. I mean, like this Creative Z Egg. It looks like the iPod Touch, but it's an Android-based device. It's very cool. If we weren't so up to, you know, on Zune HD's boat, I think we'd be talking about this. Anyway, I highly recommend it. You guys need to check it out and give us your thoughts next week. Anyway, so the final topic of today is actually a topic that was on... whatever site we were just talking about, GDGT.com. And it's a discussion that's just the kind of typical thing that goes on that site, and it's a discussion about the N64, and the title is this, N64, Best Console Ever? And there are many, 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 many pages of debate and discussion and whatnot about this question. And so I wonder what your guys' personal views were, and if you could pick a best console ever, and, you know, given its features and whatnot, you know, and for its time, what would you do? So I think we'll start with John. John, how would you respond to the question, N64, best console ever?
I mean, I wouldn't say it's the best console ever. It was, you know, definitely enjoyed for a while, you know. I mean, I don't think you really name, like, an overall best console ever. I guess it had a bunch of great games, and it was out for a long time. But, I mean, it's good for different things. I mean, that's, you know, all I really have to say on it.
Elaborate highly, please.
On which part? I do not think it's the best console ever.
Well, definitely. What things do you think it's useful for?
Playing old school games.
We'll get back to John when he has interesting things to say. Mike, what do you think?
N64, for me,
And now, put things in context. I mean, you know, although there have been things out there, I mean, what do you think about it in the context of 97, you know, with games and whatnot, and what they spawned?
I'm not going to diss it because of graphics or anything, but...
Well, don't discount current generations, but I'm just saying, you know, put it in a little bit of context, not direct comparison to, say, the 360 or whatever. Just how would you respond to the question?
Well, I definitely owned an N64. I'm a Nintendo fanboy. N64, best console ever. I can probably partially agree with that. Maybe not so much. I know there's PlayStation was released, I guess, and Xbox wasn't around then. So comparatively, yeah, they had a lot of good games that everybody liked. Like GoldenEye was my favorite game. I know now if I go back and play it, I hate it because of the graphics. But if you think about things that they had revolutionary was, I know when Star Fox came out, that game was fun, and it was the first game to ever have. Or first console to ever have a Rumble Pack, which is now, you know, in every, you know, console's controller. Graphics weren't that great. The thing I didn't like about it, though, was I know PlayStation and Dreamcast used discs, which is mandatory now. Everybody uses discs way better, but they use cartridges, and I just remember blowing into the cartridges all the time to get them to work. I know that didn't work, but the controller was not the greatest controller. I would have to compare the controller to the first Xbox controller. That's how bad the controller was. I know people got used to it. I wouldn't say it's the greatest console ever. I mean, I'm not comparing it to the 360 or anything as far as stuff, but I think compared to the Super Nintendo was really good for its time. Comparing it to games, I would have to say it has had some of the best games in, you know, gaming history on it. That's my thoughts on it.
Well, here's what I think. I would definitely say it's not the greatest console of all time. If I had to pick the greatest console of all time, I'll save that till the end, because it's probably going to be controversial. But I think it had some of the greatest games of all time, no doubt. If you think about some of the things that were on that, let me go ahead and say a few
Super
things.
Mario 64.
Super Mario 64 set the bar for all subsequent 3D adventure platformer games. And if you think even today, like if you get just a generic platformer on the Wii or some kind of movie game or whatever, almost all the puzzles, the level design and whatnot is taken directly from Super Mario 64. So that really set a precedent. Star Fox 64,
heck of a lot of fun.
Ocarina of Time, awesome game. Rogue Squadron, incredible game. Tony Hawk Pro Skater. Without that, we would never have had such classics as all the Tony Hawk games no one cares about. what else was there? And Smash Brothers. Smash Brothers.
Oh yes, Smash Bros. Fantastic.
As far as GoldenEye goes, I think GoldenEye set a crazy bar for multiplayer first-person shooters on the consoles. I don't like GoldenEye anymore, and it's mainly because of the reason I'm not going to give 64 the best console of all time, and it's because the 64's controller and control schemes don't make any sense. The controller was designed for someone with three hands. I'll say the original Xbox controller was better.
I hate the C buttons. The C buttons were the worst edition ever.
It doesn't make any sense.
Even the C stick on the GameCube. Just make two analog sticks, please.
That's the thing, yeah. But that's a problem for me, is, things like shooters, I don't understand how they control. I mean, they make no sense. And so you go back today, and it's logical that you don't have looking and moving on the same stick. You have movement and looking, you know, and except that 64 and whatnot has the same thing. But the controller never made sense. It didn't make sense to me when I was a kid. It was something to hold, you know, but it wasn't something that I enjoyed holding.
Well, Paul, you have to admit, they definitely improved once they got to the Wii, especially with the conduit. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Did you? Yeah. Ba-dee, ba-dee,
ba-dee, ba-dee. You should probably post that in the blog.
this week on the Escapist blog, Yahtzee, who does zero punctuation, reviewed The Conduit. And it's basically exactly what we said in episode 3, except in more British and more profane fashion than what we said. So,
and hilarious.
It's pretty funny. Anyway, getting back to it, the controller never made any sense to me. And on top of that, the controls don't make sense. If you think about, like, for instance, picking up a shooter or an adventure game, today you expect the same kind of basic controls. While this does not mean that the industry has stagnated and can no longer come up with interesting control schemes, it means that you basically know how to play games before you play them. In the days of 64, it seemed like every developer wanted to mix it up totally. And so you get one game, and, you know, for most of the game, they'll say that A is jump, and then you get, like, Conquer, you know, Bad Fur Day or whatever, and they make B jump or something. It seems so mixed up. And the reason I know this is because I have an emulator on my computer, and for every single game, I have to totally reconfigure the controls. I mean, every single thing has to be reconfigured, and I'm playing it on an Xbox USB controller. But it's just ridiculous. I mean, everything has to be reconfigured. And given that, I mean, the fact that when I was a kid, you know, when I was like 8 years old playing the 64, I remember thinking, I don't understand why it controls so weird, especially coming off of the SNES and the NES, where the controls made sense. I mean, you've got fewer buttons, of course, but you also only had two hands.
I remember that was the weirdest part for me was all I had was Nintendo. I never played with PlayStation or Sega or whatever Dreamcast, whatever you call it. But when they first introduced the analog stick, I guess I was so intrigued with that, you know, because you know I never played a PS or PS1 or whatever, which had two, I think. Did it have two?
What?
The PS1?
Oh yeah, they did later on. I remember wondering when I was like, you know, 10 years old. I'm like, I wonder why there's two sticks.
Oh yeah, I remember. I hated it because there was two sticks.
I just thought it was so stupid. I was like, what do you use that for? Because up until then, you just
not until Halo came out did I get interested.
So that's what I'm going to talk about. Actually, is if I had to award best console ever, I would give it to the original Xbox, and this is why it brought some of the best things about PC gaming to the consoles. And that's really what consoles have been trying to do since Doom was ported to the SNES. And I think what they did is they introduced the world to shooters on consoles, which have since surpassed PCs. You know, if you look at the sales numbers for, like, Call of Duty Modern Warfare, for instance, you know, you've got, like, a tenth of the sales on PC and, like, over 50% on the 360. So they introduced the world to shooters on consoles, and they also innovated in that they, albeit slightly after the release, gave us Xbox Live, which was the first way you could actually keep friends and work in a lobby system and whatnot to play games on a console like you were playing them on a PC. Now, I know that the PS2 had some multiplayer, but it was not a touted feature. And it was nothing like Xbox Live was. And I think given that the shooters, given that it was, at the time, vastly superior in terms of graphics and capabilities, and that it had online play, I think that the Xbox is probably the reason we have the systems we have today, save for the Wii, and not something like the PlayStation 2. I mean, looking at the two side by side, would you say that the PS3 and the 360 were evolutions from the PlayStation 2 or the Xbox One? You know, I think the clear answer is Xbox One. I mean, there's there's nothing about the PS2 that would warrant upgrading in the way that there was about the Xbox. So
yeah, Xbox definitely did it. Xbox, I think they got it right with merging. You know, Nintendo was more of like maybe adventure games, and I remember the PS1 was more for like you know, Street Fighter and like stuff where you had to do combinations and stuff like that. Yeah. You know, with the X buttons and I hated
and
all that crap.
Crash Bandicoot was fun, but
yeah, that was a fun game.
But I think also, and even in the beginning, you know, even though we did not have Xbox Live in the very beginning, the day you bought your Xbox, let's just say you had four friends with it or three friends, and they all had Xboxes and they all had Halo, you could all connect your Xboxes together with a router and USB or Cat5 cables. And so you could have, for the first time, a LAN party with consoles. And I think that was Microsoft's intention. I mean, when they announced the Xbox, you know, it was going to be the direct Xbox, and you could play PC games on your TV. You know, obviously things changed. But I still think that in terms of sheer innovation and the way it changed console gaming, the Xbox One is probably the biggest player. So we have dragged on.
Maybe we should choose less topics, you know, and
well,
talk more about
I think, let me look at the show notes. I know we're dragging on even farther. Two things that went on far, Zune HD News and District 9, but who knows. You know, we had good talks about them.
Not
so
much about the Apple tablet.
Yeah, anyway, without further ado, I guess we'll go ahead and wrap up the show. Thanks for being here, everyone. You can follow us online. You can follow me at twitter.com/ContraPaul and facebook.com/QuietKowski. What about you guys? Guys?
You can follow me on Twitter at twitter/ Mike Plowski, and you can follow me on Facebook at facebook / M. Plowski.
Yay. John?
And in follow me at twitter.com/J_Kwiatkowski and facebook.com/J.Kwiatkowski.
All right, so
next time we'll be at college.
Yay, college!
Yeah, you guys will be gone. I'll be the only one home.
Yeah, so that's the deal. That's how we're going to end the show. I hope everyone has had a good time listening. John, you need to pick up the tweets. Just so everyone knows, John's Twitter background is still the default background. And there are 35 tweets. Woohoo! 35!
I think I just hit 100 today or something.
I need to, what am I?
I know, you're like the Twitter king.
Yeah, guy. 400 tweets! I've also been on Twitter since February, though. So.
Alright, we should probably wrap up. This is getting really long.
Alright, kids, catch us next week for episode 100. Next episode? 100.
100. We wish.
Oh, Lord. So, next time's our first major milestone. We will be at our respective colleges, which are home and Charlotte. And we will we'll talk to you then. So, anyway, adios.